Our new teacher is here, and we're going to plan two lessons. They happen to be, each lesson is two people, and it just happens to be, by chance, for each lesson, one person's on Zoom and one person's live. Okay? I did not plan or even think about how to plan for these on purpose so we could do it together. But before I get to that, just a little big picture. I'm going to be evaluating. I'm going to fill out this form at the end.
Cool.
Right? This is your first day, so I'm not expecting, like, I'm still going to rate you how I think, but I'm not going to worry about if you score poorly. Because this is, I want you to see how we think. So it teaches you what to think about. And just to go over, you've filled one of these out before, but just to go over the categories, there's pre-class, like, are you prepared? Do you look nice? Are you on time? Are you ready? Are you in the moment? Do you greet the students with a smile and by name as you get to know them?
Yeah.
That, you know, that you don't know them yet, so
well,
I'll do it.
Yet, right?
But you can be damn sure I'm going to smile at every person and say their name. And of course, I'll introduce you. That's all category one. Next, class body. Like, have the students play and train. Be aware of who's confused, who's bored, who's not doing it right, who went to the next step without when they really shouldn't, etc.,
yeah.
etc.
Yeah.
The class conclusion. Do they know what to do at home? Do they how do they seem to feel at the end and how you say goodbye? And then there's conclusions. Do they understand why the lesson's important? Do they understand the concept? Do they see the value? Do they know what to do with the info? Can they apply it? Do they feel empowered? Was it motivating? Was it fun? Did they laugh? Was it interactive? Blah, blah, blah. And then there's the introduction, the first 3 minutes. Do you have everyone's attention?
Mm-hmm.
Is there generally a positive attitude? Do you sell the class by presenting the problem to be solved? You know, and then explain why solving this problem will help them long term. And explain how it might apply to multiple different styles. If you know their styles, you can zero in on, you know, I just say their name, like, student A, I know you play this type of music and it'll apply to you because, and student B, you know, I know you do this and it'll apply to you because, if that's relevant.
So, like, drawing parallels between styles and whatnot.
And even if you don't know their styles, you could still say general musicianship, like, it's a common thing among guitar players to do this mistake, and we don't want that to be you. So, like, stuff like that.
Okay.
Next, the class body. You state the principle, demonstrate right and wrong ways. This is all on the sheet. This is nothing new. It's all on the sheet. Confirm that everyone understands, and look out for people who are not engaged or are not understanding, or they maybe think it's not relevant, or any other negative thoughts, and just reassuring them that they'll get it, and layering the content, which we'll talk about in a minute, and are you talking too much, and reviewing critical things to remember, and then any other additional considerations like promoting community, showing how coming multiple times a week really has its value, but right now you don't know who's coming multiple times a week and who isn't.
Yeah.
But that can be something that other students need to hear, like, oh, if I want to get better like that person, I need to make more of an investment.
Sure.
Preemptively absolving guilt from them not knowing, expressing this any progress you visibly see, you know, praise that publicly, and assume knowing that if they don't understand, it means you didn't explain well enough. I'm not always the best at that.
Right.
If this is a challenge, it'll get easier and you're getting better. Those are all the big pictures, and you don't have to do all these in every lesson.
Sure.
I fully understand that. Now, when we plan, we have 25 minutes to plan, by the way, and this is just a general, like, a loose thing. I try not to plan more than 10 minutes per lesson.
Yeah.
Like, if there's 5 lessons and I'm spending more than an hour planning, there's something wrong. Except if I choose to be like, oh, this would be a great idea, and I don't have any particular thing written up on it.
Sure.
Then I might spend some time writing that thing, but I know it's going to be reused in the future.
Right, yeah. It's an investment.
Yeah, so, but, you know, generally, like, 25 minutes to plan, maybe a little longer because I'll digress and we're chatting about stuff.
Sure.
Should be plenty of time. We're going to go to the class schedule, which you'll have.
Great.
And we see that Joey is coming on Zoom, and we see that Finn is coming in person.
Great.
Now, we also see that it's a training class. It says building muscle memory, which is a training class.
Nice.
There's three different types of classes. Training, you don't really talk too much. It's like supervised practicing, but hopefully they'll be practicing something on the same topic. And,
sure.
You know, so...
All right, can I cut in for just a moment?
Yeah, yeah. So, to come up with a plan for them, I might look at their goals and do it backwards. So, let's just go over layering. This is for you.
Thanks.
I'm going to read this summary of instructions for layering. And I'm going to go quick because we'll get into more detail. Ready?
Sure.
One, understand layerable activities. In other words, determine basic skills and make different levels of difficulty for each student. Like, but let's just do an example, like alternate picking. You know, that's for every guitarist. And make different levels of difficulty would be different tempos, different, like rhythmic subdivisions maybe.
Sure.
Which goes along with tempos.
Maybe.
What's that?
String sets, like leaps.
Yeah, you can do string skipping and stuff like that. Yeah. Absolutely. All kinds of things. So that's a layerable activity. Like anyone can do it, and anyone, no matter what their level, can get value from it.
Sure, sure.
And then the next says use of these elements plus consistency, variation on the original skill. Like consistency would be like, okay, your maximum tempo is 100. You know, can you do it for 4 bars straight without flubbing or
yeah.
2 bars, whatever. That's consistency.
Okay.
Variations on the original skill. Like can you do it, can you play quarter notes and then eighth notes with your alternate picking, like stuff like that. Integration. What if you already knew how to do legato playing, hammer-ons and pull-offs, and you could alternate between alternate picking and legato?
Oh,
that would be an example of integration. And there's many other options.
Okay.
So that's just basic starting point. That's all part one. Part two, planning the classes. This is where the sheet comes in. You fill in the class type, the subject, and the focus of the day. So let's go ahead and... So at the top of this particular sheet, we're going to put training. That's the type of class. And the class subject, it's going to be something, generally it's going to be rhythm, harmony, melody, or technique. And we don't know yet. So let's skip that. And then the focus of the day would be something specific within those. So you have your topic, then your general, like possible subjects. Or I'm sorry, which of those it might be, like, I'm getting tongue-tied. Harmony, melody, rhythm, or technique, and then a subdivision of that. Like, what specifically are we going to do? We don't know yet, though.
Okay.
So, but then once we determine that, we determine different layerable activities and their corresponding levels. So the layerable activities could go in this column, and then the corresponding levels could go next to it, like alternate picking, and then you have your list all your different layers down here, and then you have a different layerable activity, and you list all the stuff.
Sure, and, you know, you'd say quarter notes, eighth notes, 16th notes, whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Or integrating, or like any of the stuff we talked about, consistency,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then on this side, you have the student's goals and what they're working on. You don't know that at this point because I haven't given it to you. So we could look at that. Sometimes I do that first, and maybe it's not the best thing. I look at the student's goals first, but...
Yeah, it makes sense for the foundational layer, right? Is that what you're working towards?
It's easier when there's only two. When
sure.
When there's more, it's harder to do the student's goals first. So, like, I look at Joey's goals. You could look at his big picture goals or his quarterly goals.
Okay.
And he wants to perform live, and he's into fingerstyle, and he wants to expand his chord vocabulary.
Cool.
You know, and then this quarter he's memorizing pentatonics and major scale, minor and major pentatonics.
Gotcha.
He's learning alternate bass with fingerstyle, and he wants to be able to spell chords in intervals in terms of theory, and he wants to increase sight reading ability for chord charts.
Cool.
This other student wants to do, he wants to play heavy metal and solo fast and play specific tunes.
Okay.
Like... And he's got to memorize all his pentatonics. So this is a training. You're not, like, the chord vocabulary one. Like, I'd be tempted, you know, like, oh, he wants more chords. But then I remember, oh, this isn't a training. So I'm not, this is a training. So I'm not supposed to be delivering new information there.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
just going to
train. It's a drill session.
It's a drill. There you go.
Neural grooves.
That's it.
I gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so this teacher very wisely just said that they're both interested in, and sometimes that's what I do. If I spot an overlap, then it's easy. If it's only two people and there's an overlap, perfect. So, unless I just did it. Like, there are also other considerations you wouldn't know about. Like, Joey happens to come twice a week, and if I and he comes Tuesdays and Thursdays. Today's Tuesday. So if it's a Thursday and I already did that same session with him Tuesday and I don't think it'd be worthwhile to repeat it, I might be less inclined. Or if every other thing is lining up for that topic, then I'll just say to Joey, that was a great session we did, and I think it's I think we should reinforce it with yet another one. And he'll be okay with that.
Yeah, I would be.
It's up to you. But those are considerations that I sometimes do. Like, I already did chords with Joey this week. I want to do something scale related. And then this is where it might not be as good that I do the students first, because then if I get an idea in my head, I'm like, oh, well, what could I do with everyone else within that topic? And it's not as like egalitarian as the other way, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
But whatever. So minor pentatonics. Let's look. Finn's got to memorize all five, and I think he's only got however many, two or something. One of my big things is I want the students to know how many they know. And we know that there's five main shapes of the pentatonics. That's the way I teach anyway.
Sure, yeah. I don't think about pentatonic a lot these days, but I'm sure it'll come back to me.
It'll come back. And yeah, so, you know, I like them to know, like, Finn, how many minor pentatonics do you know? And he'll say two.
Right.
Or whatever the number is.
So rooted on 16, rooted on 15, probably?
Yeah, we'll go over that in a little while. But I like them to know what they know.
Yeah.
And so you can just ask, like, how you just, as a new teacher, just ask them.
Yeah.
And then Joey, it says, let's go back to Joey, memorize all minor pentatonics and begin major pentatonics. So I'm pretty sure he's ready to begin major pentatonics.
Cool.
So they don't have to play together. You can make them play together. How would you make them play together if one's working on, by the way, I think Joey should work on major pentatonics.
Okay.
And Finn should work on minor pentatonics.
Sure.
So you could have, maybe the session would be just, you know, memorize at least one, if not two, more shapes. Like stone cold memorize. Like I call a key and you can play all your old shapes and the new shapes. Like not just memorize the shapes, but integrate everything you got so far.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm Finn and I know two shapes,
sure,
I should learn a third one and be able to play all three in any key.
Yeah.
That would be a great training.
Okay.
So that's what I'd recommend for this. So maybe you don't have to write it all out. Maybe you don't have to fill out that sheet. Maybe it's simple enough. Like you're gonna strive for at least, you know, a 25% increase in the number of shapes they've memorized.
Sure.
And so maybe you let them play separately. But if you do that, I recommend do it so that they're in the same key. But if Joey's doing the relative major,
just
have him do C and the other one does A minor or any other relationship like that.
Sure.
And then when it comes time, if you want to play a chord progression or even pull up a backing track online, perfectly fine. If it's in the key they're both working on, you would obviously have to pick the right backing track that's not all major or all minor. Maybe you make up a progression while on the fly that's half major and half minor, like the Autumn Leaves thing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you know how to do all that.
Sure.
So this one's easy.
Cool.
And if you don't want to fill out the sheet, it's fine. You don't have to.
Yeah, well, I'd like to get an idea of, like, seeing how the group works in real time to see kind of how this stuff relates to the actual thing that we do.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that would be good for me.
All right, perfect.
Like I said, I haven't seen a group lesson yet, so this would be really interesting.
Good. And it's good that it's small. And these guys are just coming off the recital. They just had it on Sunday.
Right.
So, like,
and they both played.
And so, like, they both did great. And it's like low pressure as well. All right, next lesson is, I remember it's Carol and in person is Bryce, all right? Completely different interests in styles and levels. Carol's intermediate and Bryce is a beginner.
Okay.
Let's go to Carol's, and this, oh, the type of class is a general class, meaning you're teaching. When you're going to teach something, so at the bottom of the sheet for hour number two, put general class at the top for the type of class. And then we need to choose, you and I, whether it's going to be harmony, melody, rhythm, or technique.
Sure.
And we won't choose that yet. Let's look at what Carol and Bryce are both working on. I know Bryce is overdue for a chord lesson, but I'm just going to show you the email that he gets every week. It says, now he's a beginner, so I don't have your big picture goals are, your quarterly goals are.
Sure.
I just have a list of stuff they're working on.
Okay.
After a couple quarters, then, or a quarter or two, then they can start getting, but he's not going to think about my quarterly goals and his yearly goals. He's just going week to week by this point.
Understood.
So I know he's done power chords recently. he's been introduced to vibrato, and he's been doing chord switching and playing songs in the student repertoire. I just know personally that since we've been focused on the student concert, which he did not participate in, he bailed out at the last minute, that we are way overdue for chord switching. So I'm going to highly recommend it's a chord switching.
Sure.
Just based on that. And that just happens sometimes.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I only see the student every week, whereas Carol comes... No, Carol comes once a week, but Carol's... She's just a lot more consistent in her practice, so I have to be more diligent with Bryce because, you know, if he doesn't practice and we don't talk about a certain aspect of it, he's going to let that go to pot, you know. So chord vocabulary is going to be the chord chord switching and vocabulary.
Kind of
technique. Yeah, but let's put it under chords because
yeah.
And then let's see Carol's. Let's see if she has a chord goal, which I know she does. Maybe you're right. Maybe it should be the technique thing, because I will. Just hear me out on this first.
Sure.
Because I know Carol's been working on picking fingers. And she had this song called Smooth Operator that she was having trouble embellishing. There are several ways to go here. Carol works on triads. So she could do triads while Bryce does just regular strumming open chords.
Like different inversions and stuff?
In different inversions. Sure. On the upper strings. She's only done the upper strings.
Okay.
Like 3-2-1 and 4-3-2.
Great.
Or she could do a technique thing like a hybrid picking thing where she does picking fingers on each chord and, you know, does more like a bossa nova type comping thing.
Yeah.
You know, like she was doing on Smooth Operator, she could do that. So that could be your decision. I would say, based on this, it says bar chord review. So that's a third possibility. Bryce could do capos in different frets. And this is something I like to do when there's beginners involved. Because, you know, how are you going to keep the more advanced people from getting bored by just playing G, C, and A minor all day? You just give them a capo and put it at any fret, and now all of a sudden she's got to play B flat minor and D flat, etc.
Yeah, sure.
So at fret one, right? So everybody's happy. But like I said, they don't have to all play together. But if you, I like to encourage that. So if you can see a way that they can all, if it's easy enough for you, and it's fun for them, then you do it. And if it's not, like if it's too hard to figure out, or if it's not working for somebody. Like, you try it and it's not working, you could be like, okay, well, we don't have to play together. Let's work on it separately. Sometimes I do that. We'll work on it separately for a while, and then we'll bring it together only at the very end.
Yeah.
So
like a group share, almost.
Yeah, it took me time to learn all that. Like, I kept trying to force a round hole in the square peg if something wasn't working. Like,
yeah, it's tough
like
to
no,
do.
Just do this. Like, you can't do that.
Tough to do.
So, there's those. That's three different possibilities. You got triads, you got bar chords for Carol, or we got the technique thing, the picking fingers.
Yeah, I like the idea of triads. I don't know about you, but if she's working on triad inversions, that to me looks a lot like chord switching.
Yeah.
And they can tie together pretty well.
Perfect. And then now we just need like an actual thing to give both of them. And we could either create it on the fly or like just tell them the chords on the fly, which is fine. Or to see if I have anything pre-existing.
Sure.
Or we can use Band in a Box. There's all these resources at your fingertips.
Sure.
But I'd like you to start anyway. Let's just assume Bryce knows like G, C, D, E minor, A minor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while. Me and him, we've been focused on the concert so long.
Okay.
I'm a little sad that he bailed at the end, but it's all good. I told him I would not think any less of him if he didn't do it, which is true. And And you could simply ask him, you know, give him a progression with a certain number of bars, G, C, D, A minor, whatever, see how he does. And if he nails that, you can add another chord, E minor. If he nails that, you can add E or A or, you know, easy open chords. And in the meantime, Carol will be fine, I'm sure, to do the triads. And you can, if she's doing well, see, this is where you have to also know, at any given moment, you have to either make it simpler or more complicated. So if Bryce is struggling with just G, C, D, A minor, what do you do?
I would bring him down to maybe two chords.
Yeah, you just take away stuff. That's it. You got it exactly right on the money. And what if Carol's is too easy? She's like, well, I could do this in my sleep, so...
I might give her a more complicated strum pattern or something.
Well, that okay. That's a good. That would come under integration, and that's mm-hmm. perfectly valid.
One more chords.
It's possible that it's possible that could take away from. So I'm not criticizing because that could work, but it's possible that now you have to teach her something about strumming when it's not a strumming class. And this happens too sometimes. Like that, now she'll start asking questions about the strum, and now you're teaching two different subjects to two different people. So okay. That puts you in danger. Well, what might be better is like you make her, you layer up the activity. This is what the layering thing means more. And let me get to the rest of the sheet. I never really did.
Sure.
Part two is you fill out the sheet. You determine the class type, the subject, and the focus. You determine the layer belt activity and their corresponding levels. You write out the student's goals and match them up accordingly. And then that's part two. Part three is you use additional criteria to clarify the levels, like tempo, how fast or slow, frequency, whether they do whole, half, or quarter notes, etc. Quantity, like number of items, voicings, positions, etc. And this one could be one for Carol. Like, if she's nailing it, fine. Do all three inversions per chord. Because Bryce might be going, G, 2, 3, 4, C, 2. And Carol could easily, maybe, I don't know about easily, but she might be able to try to do, like, two inversions per chord.
Half note and then a new inversion.
Yeah, half note. Absolutely. True. You know, or change string sets. Give me one inversion or root position in on strings 4, 3, and 2, and then root position on strings 1, 2, and 3.
Sure.
And so now they're still doing the same topic.
I see.
And you don't have to teach two different topics.
Right.
All right, very good. And then I'm going to continue with this list. We did tempo, frequency, and quantity. And then there's restrictions, like that makes it actually harder. Earlier we were saying taking away chords makes it easier. But as you know, restricting certain things can be make it harder, like if it's only on certain strings or certain rhythms. Yeah. So with triads, what if you had a pro level guitarist? What if you were in the room taking lessons? Uh-huh. Okay, Dan, do it only on strings, you know, 4, 5, and 1.
Yeah.
That would keep you busy.
Oh, turn me right around.
That would be for sure. So you could always teach pretty much any level, even if you yourself can't do it that well. That happens to me all the time. Like wow, I need to do this. Anyway.
Yeah.
So restrictions. Another one is add-ons, like integrating with other elements. This is the one you were saying, to integrate it with strumming patterns, as long as you don't get sidetracked with that.
I see.
And if they do ask you about that other thing that they're trying to integrate, you say, okay, well, we'll have to schedule a lesson on that soon. But in the meantime, just do X and see what they're comfortable with, whatever.
Sure.
All right, next, consistency. How many times in a row? Application. Like, application is already a given if you're playing together, because it's in a real-life music-making context. But maybe you go one step further and pull a song out from the vault, and I could show you where those all are and how to find them all, and do an actual song with those chords.
Okay.
That could be cool. I will show you how to do that. And then the last one is focus. Like tight, smooth chord switching or transitions. Like if they're transitioning from like lead to chords or something else, or good phrasing, dynamics, etc. Some one specific thing that will take their focus. So that's great. Any questions about that?
I don't think so.
It only took us 10 minutes, and that was with plenty of digressions, like I said.
Yeah.
In terms of if you do want to play certain songs, this is something you haven't seen before. There's a ginormous amount of material under this curtain right here, which is what people get on their student page. And I can show you the master list, but it goes on and on and on. Let's see, there's 525 posts.
Wow.
And each post is like a thing, like a lesson in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like I could give you one of these, as if you were my student, I could give you one of these a week and teach you for 2 years, you know.
Sure.
But let's go to repertoire. You could see I already typed in rep 2.
Uh-huh.
And here's student repertoire book 2. I click view and it comes up and here's the list of songs, and the chord after it is like the chord that song sort of highlights.
Oh,
Like when you
that
first.
That doesn't mean key.
No, okay. It means when you first learn the F chord, I might give you I Shot the Sheriff or I Know You Rider, because there's plenty of F chord in the song.
Yeah.
That's all. And then you have to go back. If you did want to play, let's say, I Shot the Sheriff, you'd go up here, and these are scanned alphabetically, so I'm going to guess that it's in part two. It's a little unscientific. So I go up to part two. I see it starts with Every Breath You Take. I'm going to scroll through and see if I can find I Shot the Sheriff. It's a little... Like during COVID, I rushed all this, but there's I Know You Rider, uh-huh. So we got to be getting close. Sure. And then there's I Shot the Sheriff.
Gotcha.
And these are mostly for reading chords. I'm not going to read melodies. For reading melodies, I have different books. This is all for chords, this student repertoire.
Sure, sure.
And then it says F major 7. I always teach them for now to ignore that. I'd much prefer to memorize the F chord than learn F major 7.
Sure.
Right? So.
Yeah.
So Bryce, right now, if he's ready for an F chord, which I doubt, he could play this, and then Carol could do try. This could be an addition, and then you could even play along, because as you know, like if you put the YouTube video on, it may not be in that key, and it's going to be way too fast for them anyway. So
sure,
you know, so that could be something. All right, so now it's time for you to come to the captain's chair, and so I'll just leave that page open. This, and you know, how familiar are you with Zoom?
It's been a while, but I did more than a year of college on it, so I should be okay.
So.
Oops, sorry, I'm gonna grab a guitar, right?
Yep.
And we have somebody coming in the room as well, right?
Yeah, but Finian's always late. Another consideration is like where to sit when you have someone live in the room and someone. You have to obviously try and face both of them, which is impossible. So I usually just sit this way with your back to the window.
Ah, okay.
So just humor me and do it, please.
Sure.
And then they can see, if you can see your own fretboard in the reflection there.
Yep.
Right, so someone on Zoom can see it.
Great.
You can position the camera like this. Right, so they can hopefully see. You might have to sometimes sit back a little. Like, away from the computer, that is, so they can see both your hands and your face.
Sure.
And that's the way I ask them to do it. And so this way, like, if you're sitting, if I'm over here, have the person sit in the room. So sometimes you got four people, you can't do it. You can't have these two people, everyone facing over there.
Yeah.
But if there's only one, ask them to sit in this chair. So you could see them while you're looking at the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you turn a little more, like towards me.
Oh.
A little more, keep going. There should be a sweet spot where you both people can see your hands.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be perfect.
I'm like, move back even more a little bit towards the door, just to see. Yeah, it's not perfect. And then come back towards me. Yeah, like that. See? I can see your hands, and the Zoom people could see it. Cool. Follow up, the teacher is done with two lessons. Neither of them were group classes. They were one-on-ones in the end. I had two no-shows. He did a fantastic job. The one recurring thing that came up between the two lessons, and this is just a big philosophical principle that I learned in the International Teachers Group, was about the training to teaching ratio. You know, I have come to believe that after having worked with that group for so long, like to train more and teach less means that, like, unless... Like, I'm not saying to hold students back, you know, and make them progress slower just because you're deciding when to give them the next thing. But I like them to own the thing they have. So we did two sets of strings for triads, but that was only in one key. And it would have been even fine to even just stick with one string set, and then maybe they would you know, do two chords near each other, or even three or four, but you did two string sets, and that's perfectly fine, and you were having them move between those string sets. That was perfectly fine.
Sure.
And there was only 15 minutes left at the time you were thinking of going to a third string set, but so far you had only done one key, and there was hardly any implementation. So,
yeah.
So, like, even something as simple as, okay, we've now done two sets of strings, and we've done C and A minor. So you, and then you did, as soon as I said it, you started doing it. You did D and B minor, you know, and so the student could have went like D, you know, D and B minor, and then this inversion with this, and then this inversion with this. You know, that would have been a very tall order for them, or going back to strings 3, 2, and 1. Like that. You and I can do that easily, but...
Yeah, that's the one I had Carol doing at the end there, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, that shows a real level of ownership when they can do something like that versus to try and cover too much ground and then on a future date you realize they kind of don't remember any of it. It's the most, in my opinion, most common teaching mistake is over-delivering information and not training enough.
Yeah.
So you'll just learn to be more comfortable making them do stuff. Like, and if they do it, like, let's say she was able to do all that, like, just like I demonstrated that.
Yeah, sure.
On both string sets, you could be like, okay, well, give me 4 chords. Give me a 1-6-2-5 on each, and she would... And then in 6 different places, right? Sure. If she could do that, then you'd be like, oh, well, you're all set then. Let's move on. But nobody's going to be able to do that within
sure.
the first few lessons.
Sure. So. Well, the other thing that was difficult on that end of the thing for me is, like, I really didn't know where she was until we got into the lesson, you know
right.
what I mean? Because I'd never heard her play before.
Right.
So that's something I would hope will get more comfortable as I, you know, start to work with the students a little bit more and, like, have a real clear, firm idea of, like, where they are. Like, with Joey, I felt like I kind of could hear and feel where he was at. With Carol, it was interesting because she could move between chords pretty quick, you know, in that first way they were doing it. And I was like, okay, interesting. So I had to get a feel for where she was.
Yes.
You know
so,
what I mean?
Good question. Well, it wasn't really a question. You were observing, but that
yeah.
leads me to a point. Rather than ask them a question, like a broad question about, I can't remember how you were asking in the beginning. What you could do is you could say, you know your triads. You know triads on the top 3 strings, correct? Yes. Good. Show me. Can you show me all 3 inversions in the key of C?
Yeah.
And then they either do it or don't. And then if they don't, if they do and they do it very quickly, you can ask other questions. Do you know it on strings 2, 3, and 4? Good. Show me. Is everything show me? You know. And then you'll immediately know, like, how fast does she do that? If she's a whiz at it, you're like, oh, okay, I got to go way faster to catch
yeah.
up.
Yeah. And that's. Sorry, that's implementing the training. Like, it's like, it's this thing, can you show it to me?
Yeah, and then yeah. But on the flip side, if she had totally struggled and she could barely do all 3 triads or didn't do them correctly, then you would be like, oh, I gotta go way further down. So you don't necessarily have, but if you ask them a broad question where they're telling you in words, it's still not gonna mean anything. They don't
yeah.
have a realistic gauge of what they can do and what they can't do
sure.
yet. Like,
sure.
you know what possibilities there are.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, well, I kind of know my triad, so can we talk about blah, blah, blah? It means they'll try and redirect you. They can, like, means they didn't practice and they don't want to do any work on the topic they know is good for them.
Yeah,
they'd
sure.
rather ask questions on some unrelated topic.
Sure.
Anyway, very good today. Excellent job.
Okay, cool.
Great.